This is a Lip Media podcast.
This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Woolgaroo-Coorba, Bindal and Wurundjeri peoples. The country we now call Australia was built on the stolen lands of hundreds of unique Indigenous nations, and we recognise that as white women, we continue to partake in and benefit from the act of colonisation. We pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging.
Welcome to Book Slut, a podcast bringing erotica out of the gutter and into a snobbier gutter. Hi, my name is Abby.
And I'm Sam. It should go without saying that this podcast is not safe for work, so put your headphones in.
I can't believe it's been a whole year of podcasting and I still don't know how to start the fucking podcast. Hello.
Welcome to Book Slut.
Happy Merry Christmas.
How do you feel about the Merry? I mean, essentially, I just spent a lot of time looking at different Christmas controversies during this time. And one of them being the whole, which comes around every year, Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas thing. I just feel like, I don't know, maybe I don't have that many friends, but not many people wish me a Merry Christmas.
No.
Except like, for on Christmas.
Yeah, aside from like your work colleagues and like maybe a middle-aged lady in the shopping center, like who's saying it?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I have absolutely no problems with Happy Holidays, but I don't say it to anyone.
I have a problem with people who have a problem with Happy Holidays.
Oh, yeah. I often have a problem with people who have the problem with the thing that shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, a year. We've been doing it for a year.
Yeah, a whole year. And what a year it has been. I looked back and we started releasing Book Slut in February. So I am amazed we've done almost an entire year of podcasting. That's pretty crazy.
I know.
Did you have a favorite? A favorite book from this year? To clarify, an erotic.
I have a lot of opinions on books that I like, okay? I mean, obviously, I think Chuck Tingle is the biggest find that we've had. I mean, he's continued to provide us with entertainment throughout.
That's true.
So he would definitely be... He would definitely be up there. I think we're ending on a high note with this book.
Oh, I'm excited.
So I quite enjoyed that, but I don't know whether I can say that that's my favorite, considering I honestly cannot remember.
It's the only one that's in your memory, so it's your favorite.
It's like this and 50 Shades of Grey, which I know I hated, so...
Yeah, you hated that one.
What about you?
Look, I think for me, a highlight was definitely the fan fiction episode and talking about Drapple and the giant squid penetrating Hogwarts.
You know, that weirdly comes up a lot for me now. And also the other weird thing is that some of the stuff that we've researched has come up in random conversations with work colleagues.
Me too.
And I... Because they don't know about the podcast, I have to keep on being like, in a unrelated note of a thing I've researched a lot about, they definitely think I'm like a sex pest. Like,
I mean, it's no secret. I haven't just moved town, so it's people know about it. But I always feel like a dick when I'm like, oh, yeah, when I was researching for the podcast, like, what a wanker thing to say. God. But yeah, that was a highlight for me, definitely. Oh, and
do you have
the ginger butt plug? I think I just liked the use of food.
Oh my god, the ginger butt plug! That was a good one. That was a good story. Really, I mean, I wasn't into it sexually. But
I appreciated that it came out of nowhere. Damn. You know,
what was that even? What was that episode even on?
Safe sex.
Safe sex.
Uh,
So I guess the natural next question is, what was your least favorite book?
I think it would have to be, I mean, it was funny, but that fucking pregnancy book, it really let me down.
The brides are yeah, wrong.
Like, especially because I like half read so many books and spent quite a bit of money on shitty ebooks, you know, to then, yeah, it was surprising in a way that I didn't want it to be.
You let yourself down and you let Australia down. So.
Yeah. Sorry. What about you? Did you have a least favorite?
I mean, 50 Shades. It sucked.
It needed to be done, though. You took one for the team.
Yeah, it was simultaneously shit and boring, and I just, it was hard to get past that.
But I vaguely remember, I think it was Pucked, so you were like, I hated this even more. Did you not hate that more?
Oh, I forgot about Pucked.
We've read some truly awful books this year.
I think the thing with Pucked is that it was shorter. I think that's probably what would tip 50 Shades over for me, is that it was like 300 pages.
Yeah.
Whereas Pucked was like 30 or something, or 100 or something.
I feel like a running highlight for me has been all of the like the weird, well, not weird, but like the fantasy ones. Like I really loved looking at mermaid sex, and I really loved looking at werewolves, and I'm uncovering a kink here for me.
You'll be doing role play in no time, little dressed up as a werewolf. All right, so
today we're talking about Christmas erotica.
Christmas. So I guess we should start with the disclaimer. I, Abby, froth Christmas. I love it. I love it so much. And the thing is that everybody assumes that I'm going to be a Grinch hater of Christmas.
Oh, people would assume that about you. Yeah. Oh,
it makes sense. I get it. Yeah. I get why they assume
that. It follows
that.
Your, like, shtick.
It does. But then I flip it for them. I flip it and I'm like, no, guys.
Catch them by surprise.
No, guys. Let's hang up that tinsel. Let's put more lights on this house. Fuck the environment. Let's up our electricity. Let's go.
And, I mean, contrastingly, I am the Grinch. I'm the Grinch out of the pair of us. I don't know if that like surprises people or what.
I feel like you could go either way, and I wouldn't be surprised. Mm.
And look, I think it has like evolved a bit. I hated it a lot growing up, but then it's kind of softened. And I think a big part of that has been living with you for several years and your fucking infectious Christmas spirit.
Like the time I made you and Nick cut out like 100 snowflakes for that party.
Yes, but that looked amazing. So we stuck them up to the roof with fishing wire and then put like blue fairy lights around. That looked delightful.
Yeah, and I think we cut them most of them out while we were watching Pride and Prejudice or Buffy.
North and South. Yeah, I have like really fond memories of Christmases when we were living together and would throw Christmas parties. That was really lovely. And now, like, I'm really looking forward to this year. I don't, like, my family doesn't do gifts or anything like that, but my mum's an amazing cook, and I can't wait to just, like, gorge myself on the food.
Yeah, I think it's a massive deal for me this year, and I'm only really realizing that kind of the closer we get to it, because I haven't been able to see my family for 12 months, and my sister's had a baby, and there's just kind of, like, a lot happening with my family at the moment, so it is going to be... Like, the closer it gets to me leaving, I'm getting, like, really excited, which is weird for me because I don't normally do that with my family.
Because I don't normally feel things.
Because I'm fundamentally a robot and I love the Bicentennial Man. I mean...
I forgot about that. I forgot about the robot episode. Oh, God.
Sex robot.
Okay, but enough talking about like the wholesome side of Christmas. I want to talk about the fucking filthy side of Christmas.
Yeah, so the thing. I've discovered that there is, like, there's a lot of erotica that is apparently on its surface Christmas themed, you know, in that. But if you dig deeper, if you get, like, right down into it, you realize that it's actually just people fucking on Christmas. And that wasn't enough for me. It wasn't enough.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of like, it's like the classic diehard debate, right? Like, it is held at Christmas, but it's not a Christmas themed film.
I was really wondering where you were going with that, but that is such a perfect analogy.
Oh, thank you. Merry Christmas.
So I wanted to find something that was like, it was proper Christmas, you know?
You wanted someone to be like fucking Santa?
Exactly. This is exactly what I wanted.
Because that's proper Christmas. That's how I define it.
Because that's what Christmas is all about. Okay? And so I read a short one, which is not the one that we're going to talk about, that was essentially about someone having sex with Jack Frost, which I thought was kind of cool and a little bit like of the alternative Christmas spirit. Jack Frost does not get enough sex or mentions.
What's Jack Frost in Christmas? Deal? Is he just the snow?
He brings snow.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, I didn't actually look into him.
Yeah, but I don't think that's much of a thing in Australia, I guess.
Yeah, but I think he's got like a whole fairy tale business behind him. But okay. Anyway, so I read that and it was like, there wasn't enough, because essentially the only thing was that he was cold to touch. And I was like, well, yeah, he's essentially a snowman.
Yeah, you're right. That isn't enough. I love how picky we're getting now. It's like, oh, I have to read multiple books to find one that, like, meets my needs.
Meets my very niche needs.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I discovered about Christmas erotica, which I'd not come up against before, is that a lot of the books, you can't get them anymore. I don't know. They've been taken down or something. I tried to find a whole bunch of them and they kept on telling me that, yeah, I couldn't access them through Amazon anymore to put on my Kindle library of shame.
Me too. We really need to come up with a better way to source our erotica.
I know. We need a more ethical erotica source.
Yeah. If anyone has any hot tips, you let us know.
But I thought that I'd read you out the blurbs of a couple that I looked at but couldn't find but really wanted to read.
Ooh, fun. It's like we get to watch just the previews, and I love the previews.
You know what? That's a real sign of growing up, I think, because I used to hate the previews, but now I'm like, previews are part of the best bit.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I do not want to be late to the movies.
No, I want to see all of like what's coming up and then excited about it and then never go to see them.
Exactly. I want to feel like all of the feelings in that 3 minutes and then let it go by like it never happened.
So we've got Wicked Wonderland. When Nick and Chris, the half-fae sons of human mothers, aren't using Santa's sleigh in the off-season to make deliveries for their booming sex toy business, they're setting off sensual fireworks in the bedroom.
Aw, sounds delightful.
But then, and I believe I did already send this to you, but I think it bears repeating. That's just the snippet of the blurb that I thought said the most about the story. Then it had a product warning section that says, explicit menage a trois, hot MFM scenes, hot male-on-male scenes, a ruthless stalker who torments the heroine, sex toys, sex on rooftops, spankings, BDSM, dark fae, bird men, orphans, strippers, centaurs, a violent battle between good and evil creatures on board a ship, true love, and sex in Santa's sleigh.
Wait, I'm so confused, because it sort of started out like it was like a content warning, and then it's like sex on a rooftop. Is that upsetting to people? Centaurs?
A violent battle between good and evil creatures on board a ship. Real specific.
I mean, that sounds like an excellent, excellent tale. I'm sad you didn't get to read that one.
And then the one that I really, really wanted to read but could not find. I went on a deep trawl through the internet to find this book, Penetrating Claws. Semicolon. The Private, brackets, and Uncensored, Confessions of Toyson Tinkerbottoms.
Sorry. What?
When young and inexperienced Toyson Tinkerbottoms manages to land a dream job at Santa's workshop, all is not as it seems when the seductive Mrs. Claus takes a lustful interest in the handsome elf. Will he succumb to the advances of this aged, yet tantalizing and forbidden woman?
Oh my God. You know what though? I feel like it's not as often that people are sexualizing Mrs. Claus, so great.
You reckon? I feel like, okay, so maybe not Mrs. Claus, the character of Mrs. Claus, but like all of the sexy female Santa suits.
Yeah, but I
thought they were all Mrs. Claus.
I don't interpret them as Mrs. Claus. I just interpret them as like, I'm a Christmas skank, you know? And I mean that with love. Like, I mean, I'm into it, but like, I don't see them as Mrs. Claus. Because Mrs. Claus in my brain is like, jolly and
matronly.
Like matronly and like have a cookie and, you know, drinking milk or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I just assumed any woman in the Claus outfit.
Maybe it's just Santa's slutty daughters from all of his all of his affairs across the globe.
Wouldn't that be great? They just like all come home wearing the like red mini skirts with the white fluffy thing around it. Daddy!
Oh no. And that's where this conversation is ultimately going, right? Because Santa's a daddy.
Santa's the ultimate daddy. So the one that I did read is called A Christmas Elf by Teal St. Clair. And I don't know if this is just because of my aforementioned Christmas spirit, but it was just like overwhelmingly cute. And I found it quite difficult to reconcile the sex part with the, like, cute Christmassy part.
Right.
Because it'll be like, we're finding your Christmas spirit. Suck my cock. And I'd be like, ah.
Yeah, like you expect that behavior from the Grinch, but you wouldn't expect it from little cute little elves.
Would you expect that from the Grinch?
Who is the
Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey. That character is so abrasive. In a porno version, I could absolutely imagine. He's the kind of guy who'd be like, suck it. I totally can see it. Here's your Christmas present.
I can kind of see it, but I don't know. It wasn't the first thing that came to my head. But anyway, so this is the story of a grumpy and apparently like perpetually cold elf who is too grumpy for Santa's workshop.
Oh.
And okay, the like job satisfaction of Santa's workshop in this book sounds shit because like all she did was paint red. She just painted things red. So she was in charge of like fire trucks and whatever and just painting it red.
Boring.
I'd be fucking grumpy too.
Yeah.
The elves should unionize. It's not the first nor the last time I will say this.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
So, essentially, she's too grumpy and Santa's like, okay, I'll let you back in the workshop, but you have to find the Christmas spirit of this guy that I'm gonna send you to, and he's like super hot.
Find the Chris. What does that even mean?
You know, it's like what's that one of, you know, Scrooge, where has to find his, you know, Christmas spirit. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So the guy's hot, and to quote, his deep brown hair reminded Marley of the summer coat of the reindeer.
Sexy.
The short above the ear haircut he wore was similar to the typical male elf hairstyle.
Okay. All right. Yep.
And so,
wait, is he an elf as well, or is it just some random dude?
No, he's a human.
Okay.
And she gets sent to what she calls the outside world.
Okay. Is she's small. Like, are the elves in this world teeny tiny?
No, she's not teeny tiny. I did think that she was about 4 foot, but then I realized that that was her sitting down or like kneeling down. So I think she'd be like 5 foot.
Okay. Just a short human, really.
Yeah, she's just a short human with pointed ears, and she likes to wear shoes that have, you know, the little curls on them.
Yep.
Curly shoes.
It's a fashion choice. You know what I've never been able to reconcile in my brain? Christmas elves versus Lord of the Rings elves. That's just a side note that I think about. This is what I think about sometimes. Because Lord of the Rings elves would fuck. Christmas elves probably still would, but I'd be more reluctant about it.
Yeah, I'm not sure about where. Maybe they're like different elf races.
Mm. Well, that's a good point. I shouldn't assume that there's only one elf race.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the thing is, elves apparently are very asexual beings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Christmas elves, at least, obviously.
I mean,
like,
okay.
Not dishing on Lord of the Rings elves. But, like, to the point that she, like, doesn't even know what it is.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
So the problematic part of this book was very much the, like, innocency, childish thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so she's there and she's like, I'm going to help you find your Christmas spirit. And so she's like, part of Christmas spirit is sharing. So what we should do is share your bed in this like very platonic way.
Yeah, okay. That's a bit of a leap, but sure.
So before the guy, Jacob, which is a good name.
Is that because you know a Jacob? Hi, Jacob.
Hi. I mean, I didn't think about it, but I mean, maybe. I don't know, but it's better than Steve.
That is,
I know a Steve.
That's true. That's true.
Before Jacob knows or realizes that she actually doesn't know anything about sex, he has these kind of like internal monologue-y parts where it's like, Jacob draped his forearm across his eyes, innocent but seductive. It was a wicked combination that stronger men than he had succumbed to. So I just want to pause for a second on that because it's like, she literally knows nothing about sex. So in what way is she being seductive?
Mm.
I feel like seduction implies that you have the intent to seduce someone, right?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point. I feel like that kind of raises this idea of like being just like existing and that being enough to be seductive. Often that is paired with ideas around femininity, and it's like you're just existing in the world, living your life, and then when someone else has a reaction to that, it's perceived as you doing something when really it's on Jacob.
Yeah, this is what I was thinking, right? Because I feel like you could be, say, innocent but sexy, because that's him saying you're sexy.
Mm.
You know, like there are the things that you're doing I find.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Oh,
myself.
Are you saying like that the idea of seducting kind of implies you're an active participant?
Yeah, I feel like calling someone seductive requires them to be seducing you, and the idea of seducing someone is that you kind of know what you're doing. I don't know if that's just me, but that's kind of what I think when I think of seducing.
Yeah,
you have to have the intent there to be like, ooh, I'm gonna.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like saying someone's seductive when they have no idea what they're doing is kind of putting the intent on them.
Yeah.
When it's like, actually, she has no idea what it is to be seductive, because maybe I'm wrong on this. But
maybe we're overthinking it. I don't know.
Never say so. But I think, and like not just in this narrative, I think that's something that comes up a lot in discourse, you know, around women's actions.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, but anyway, then like lots of pages go by, like lots. This book was like 230 pages.
Oh my god, well done.
Thank you. I didn't realize that when I started, but anyway. And essentially the sexy things that happened is that they fall asleep and they wake up like dry humping each other, essentially.
Oh yeah.
And then, oh, this is because, and she, in her internal monologue, she's like, oh, this is my fault because I have this annoying un-elf-like tendency to cuddle people. Elves don't like being touched, apparently. Oh.
What kind of weird ass conditioning is happening in fucking Santa's
workshop?
Yeah.
It just sounds like a sad time.
Well, it sounds like they've been conditioned to be super productive little capitalist machines. That's what I'm getting. Because if you're not cuddling, you're making things.
Eat the elves. Eat the elves. And then the other thing, the other sexy bit that's going on is that he is having increasingly sexy dreams about her.
Christmas magic.
Yeah, one of them is, Jacob stepped into his living room, the newly lit tree glowing with hundreds of lights, because she put up a Christmas tree, even though he hates Christmas. From behind the tree, Marley appeared, wearing nothing but Christmas lights. And I was like, hasn't this person ever touched a Christmas light when it's been on for a while? Like, that shit is gonna burn. Also, I'm not putting that on my naked body.
Yeah. It would look kind of fun, though. But
it'd
yes.
look great.
Did Jacob say anything or, like, question anything when an elf showed up at his door out of the blue?
He doesn't know she's an elf. He thinks that she is the niece of his house keeper because he's also a billionaire,
obviously. Of course. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, and then he's having this like meeting, this, you know, important meeting or whatever, and she dresses up real sexy for it and hangs mistletoe everywhere because somebody told her that there's like Christmas magic in mistletoe. And
oh my
like,
god, Marley, get a clue at this point.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And then he's like, no, people kiss under mistletoe. And then they kiss. And she's like, oh my god, what is this? This is amazing. So after he realizes that she has no idea about sex at all, he like goes to some length to explain to her what sex is and to be like, I would like to have sex with you, but I think you need some time to like deal with what it is and come back to me.
Oh,
and
I love that.
I know. I was so pleasantly surprised by the amount of like informed consent in this book.
That's beautiful. Speaking of informed consent, when Santa was like, "Oi, Marley, you're going into the unknown world." Who, like, where's the responsibility here to send out a completely naive being into a world of men, essentially,
to face this world of men? Timid and shy and scared are you?
I mean, yeah.
So she had an orientation.
Okay.
And then when the whole sex thing comes up, she says, a quick glance at her Elf in the Outside World handbook, there was one line hidden in the back, sex. Contact Santa for more details.
Ew, don't. Pervy Santa.
She meets this other elf out in the outside world who she thought had just disappeared because he had also been grumpy and he was sent on a, like, you know, trip to the outside world, and then he just never came back. And she's like, oh, I thought you just kind of like died or something. And he's like, nah, I decided to stay here.
Freedom from the shackles of the workshop.
Freedom from the capitalist pig in red.
Yeah.
And then for the rest of the book, she refers to sex as the sex.
Oh, bless. I love that.
And so she decides that she wants to have sex with Jacob. And she comes back and she says, and they like make out and whatever. And she says, are we going to have the sex? He says, do you want that? And she says, yes. And then his response is, you sound a little unsure. Why don't we just play a bit and then you can decide?
Oh, Jacob.
And then before he sticks his dick in her, he checks again. He's like, are you sure, like, you want to keep going? And she's like, yep, go for it.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Christmas spirit. There you go.
Yeah, that's, and then he found his Christmas spirit. And then she tells him she's an elf by accident. She's really angry and it just kind of slips out in a kind of weird angry monologue that, you know, heroines do every now and then for a plot point.
Yep.
And he's all like, lol, I think you should go see a doctor, which, fair enough. Like,
are we in a universe where, like, Santa's a myth?
Yes. We're in just essentially our universe.
Okay, yep.
And then an elf is also there. But yes, everybody thinks Santa's a myth. And, you know, she's like, no, it's real. Like, I can grant wishes because elf magic is essentially just to grant wishes. That's the only magic they have.
Then why are they spending their days painting?
That's a good point. Why aren't they, like, out on the streets granting wishes? Like, there's a much better use of their time.
Yeah, and they'd probably get paid a lot better.
She says, you know, I'm an elf, and he's like, nah. And she's like, if you tell me your Christmas wish and it comes true on Christmas, then, you know, that's proof that I'm an elf. And she gets, like, senses of wishes from people, and she gets this really vivid image of her naked, kneeling on the ground before him, her hands tied behind her back, her eyes staring at the ground, and he essentially tells her to suck him off in his, like, wish thought.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because he's also got this whole BDSM thing going on.
Okay.
Which is just hanging in the background, where essentially he experimented with BDSM, and there's a line saying he'd experimented with BDSM in his younger days but found the lifestyle didn't match his professional goals well.
What does that mean?
Because he's a businessman, and businessmen are serious and not into kinky sex.
I'm sure there are plenty of very serious businessmen out there who are real into kinky shit.
So she gets this vivid image but doesn't say anything, and then he says, you know, my mum should have a puppy. So he gives off this wish that he's like, it's impossible, my mother hates puppies or something. I don't know, it's not that important. And then they agree not to talk about the elf thing anymore, and then they start having sex a lot, and then they fall in love. Spoiler. But again, the way that the sex was described, to be honest, the sex scenes were pretty good. He uses cunt quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, we all know I'm into, so that was good. But then there were other things.
Who knew you'd find consent and cunt and stuff in a Christmas erotica?
In a Christmas. I know. It was really pleasantly surprising. I was like, oh, okay. And then there are some great, like, there are some great descriptions. It's got, his tongue slid whisper soft across her skin, sending a flurry of sparkles through her body.
Aww.
I love that she called it sparkles.
That's cute.
He also gives her a lot of head, so nice. That's good.
I mean, that's the kind of Christmas I want.
Yeah. He's giving her head, and then he says, delicious. Still watching her, he spread her lower lips and flicked his tongue delicately across her flesh. Better than any Christmas candy.
I mean, he's not wrong.
I had a real vivid image of a man giving me head and then being like, better than Christmas candy.
Oh, no. You know what it makes me think of? You know what it makes me think of, which is totally inappropriate? Makes me think of, much too good for children. Inappropriate.
The Trunchbull? You're telling me you wouldn't have sex with the Trunchbull?
Oof, no. Maybe.
She could, like, throw you around. I was going to say, maybe like, I'm feeling, nobody's
if
business.
I was feeling, like, real subby.
Oh, and then there was also this one, which I just wanted to gauge your opinion of, because I think it's a new phrase. Marley hummed softly and rolled with him as he pulled his cock from her wet haven.
Haven.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds very like I want to go there. Like, haven sounds nice. Like, quite luscious. Yeah.
Well, Jacob, he goes there and he gets right in there. So after they have sex a few times, she's kind of like, ooh, sex is fun. And then there's like this great scene where they've just had sex and he gets a phone call because he's an important businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And he's all like, murr, 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 business, business, business. And she is like on the mattress and she kind of moves and feels a little bit of sparkles going on.
Mm.
And so she kind of starts moving on the mattress, essentially dry humping it. And then she's like, maybe if I put my hand down there.
Yes. Yes.
While he's all like, business, business, business. You know, in his monologue, it's kind of like watching Marley masturbate is like one of the sexiest things I've ever seen kind of thing. And it was so good. But essentially, because she's his manic pixie dream girl, they fall in love and he finds his Christmas spirit. And then she goes back to the workshop.
Why would Christmas. You go back to the workshop, Marley?
It's her home.
She's been brainwashed.
So she goes back to the workshop and she's all sad face about it.
Yeah.
And then on Christmas, he finds out that his mum got gifted a puppy. Before she goes back to the workshop, she plays out his little BDSM fantasy.
Oh, that's nice.
And it was quite nice. Yeah, it was quite nice. So, and then she's all like, farewell, my love, and goes back to the workshop.
Does he believe that she's an elf now? Was he like, oh, I just fucked an elf?
Yes. So he now believes that she's an elf, and he's like, oh, man, fuck. How do I get to the North Pole? And then he goes from being like a Grinch to being sad but keeping all the Christmas decorations up and listening to Christmas music all the time.
That's a bit sad. That's a bit grim.
And then he writes a letter to Santa being like, I hope wherever Marley is, she's happy. But I have to let her go. I love her. Blah, blah, blah. And then Santa turns up and is like, hey, Jacob, it's Santa. And then Santa's like, poof, Christmas magic. Here's a bag. And inside the bag is Marley, bound and gagged.
Santa, you filthy man.
And takes her, like, gag off. And she's like, what the fuck, dude? Like,
you were Santa just, like, kidnapped Marley from the workshop.
Yeah, it seemed a bit much. And then, and then they have lots of kids because Santa tells Jacob elves are really fertile.
Fuck and off, then... Santa. That is a weird thing to say.
And then, poof, Christmas magic, he disappears.
I tell you what, Santa sounds like a creep.
Oh, and all of their kids are born on the 25th of December.
Oh, it's already a busy time.
I know. And who wants to have their birthday
nobody,
on Christmas?
Nobody wants that. Nobody.
So I give the story 7 out of 10 eggnogs.
We haven't rated many of our books, have we?
No.
The children, are they elves?
They're elves, apparently.
Is there like some awful, like, I've done a deal with the devil and now all our children have to go to the workshop?
Oh, no, Santa's just going to bind and gag them and poof them up to the North Pole.
Oh.
Seems to be his way.
Oh, Santa. No.
It's in your blood, children. Come and sew buttons on the dolls.
Like, do that by magic. Why would you can grant wishes. Like, why are you doing
you
manual labor?
It's weird, but until you started talking about this, that didn't even enter my mind.
Maybe it's because it's the end of the year and I cannot do any more work. Like, the thought of doing work is, like, abhorrent to me.
Yeah, so...
Wow.
So, I mean, it was only mildly problematic, which I think is, like, quite an achievement.
Yeah, I was expecting there to be way more problematic things.
Yeah, I feel like if I had have chosen any of the others, probably, but... This one, yeah, it was quite cute. So, I guess we'll take a break and we'll come back and chat about Christmas.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I think one of the things I find weird about commercialized Christmas and modern Christmas is the weird sexy songs.
There's so many.
Like, it's not a sexy... I mean, Santa... is objectively, he's not a sexy character. Although, you know who is a sexy Santa? The evil Santa in Belgium. Have you seen the evil Santa? He's like all dressed in black. He's got whips. He like, I don't know, chases children around. he's like, if you've been naughty, you see like evil Santa. You know, yeah, I mean, he's supposed to be, you know, nightmarish and whatever, but I think he's kind of hot.
I mean, I think like doing research for this episode was funny because, yeah, I similarly to you, like I find there's nothing about Santa or even just like Christmas in general that I find arousing. Like, the thought of like wanting to have sex with Santa is so foreign to me. But as it turns out, there are plenty of people who froth that. And like the more that I read about it and kind of like just in general kind of dove into the internet world of sexy Santa, I kind of like could get it on an intellectual level of like, oh, there's this kind of erotic element. You'll get rewarded if you're good and you'll get punished if you're bad. I'm like, yeah, that's sexy. As soon as you put a Santa hat on it, it's not sexy.
Less sexy.
But yeah, the whole premise of this episode kind of boggles my mind a bit.
What about elves, though? You know.
I mean, if it's Legolas, damn. But if it's fucking Will Ferrell, if it's Will Ferrell in a hat, no.
If it's Legolas with a Santa hat on.
Oh, I'd be confused, but I'd still Legolas is one of my earliest erotic loves, so. You're shaking your head at me.
Legolas. He's so lame.
Yeah, carry on. I mean, you just say that because you're an Aragorn girl. But anyway. yeah, sure. That would be a compromise I'm willing to make.
Okay, good to know. Good to know where we stand.
Wait, would you have sex with Santa? Or elves?
I reckon, you know what would be really interesting? A, like, Gulliver's travel situation with, like, many little elves, but in an orgy.
That'd be interesting. And you're just, like, the big human lying
just, like,
in the middle.
Just, like, the giantess.
Like, tiny little tongues being, like, boop, 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 boop. I mean, whatever gets you off, Abby, it's fine. We've gotten so derailed. We're talking about songs. Let's go back to songs.
Yeah, I feel like just because, and it lends itself so easily to weird sexy puns.
It really does.
You know, like even like ho 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 and emptying sacks and going down chimneys.
Oh,
and
it's rife. It's like someone with a filthy mind has written the entirety of Christmas. I was listening to some sexy Christmas songs this afternoon.
Yeah, you sent them to me. They were weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's safe to say that Santa Baby is like the one of the more popular and like well-known sexy Christmas songs. I'd never like properly listened.
Eartha Kitt, Chef's Kiss. So good.
I'd never really paid attention to the lyrics that much before, and then I read them today and I was just like, oh, wow. Like, it's not subtle. At all. But there's this moment in it where she's like, think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be oh so good if you check off my Christmas list. And I was just like, oh, this whole like innocence thing again. I mean, it's of a time. When was it written? Like the 40s or something?
Around that time. Maybe a bit earlier even.
But like, it's an objectively sexy song where she's asking Santa to come fuck her in her chimney or whatever. And
come fuck me in my chimney.
But it's also like paired with this, but I'm so innocent and I haven't kissed anyone all year, you know?
Yeah, try a pandemic, Eartha.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe I'm reading too much into this song.
You know how there's always those one or two artists that feel the deep burning need to bring out a Christmas album every year? It's like, just don't cover it.
I mean, just don't bring out a Christmas album every year. But what do I know? Speaking of covers, obviously, what would Christmas be without Michael Bublé doing covers of something? He did a cover of Santa Baby in 2011, which I don't know if you've heard it. I listened to it this afternoon. I did not like it. But the thing that stood out to me was for majority of the song, instead of saying baby, he says Santa buddy. And
no.
And I was like, this is so aggressively musically being like, no homo, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, fucking hell. So, you know, that makes me not like him even more.
Fair enough. So I guess you should maybe chat about Christmas.
Yeah. So I thought that it might be worthwhile looking a little bit at the history of it. Not in depth. I'm sure you can find that content elsewhere. But the thing that...
On all your favorite Christmas podcasts.
But the thing that that stands out to me that I thought was relevant is this idea of Saint Nick being the patron saint of sex workers, which I didn't know about. Not to get ahead of ourselves, he's a patron saint of many people and things.
Yeah, I think he's like the patron saint of gifts, of children, and of sailors, I think are the kind of common ones.
Yeah. So the most famous story about Saint Nick, aside from, you know, later when he becomes
Santa Claus.
Yeah. is about him coming across these three impoverished sisters. And then he saves them from a life of prostitution by delivering three bags of gold to their indebted father so that he can pay for their dowries, so that they can get married and then no longer have to go and do sex work. Air quotes around prostitution.
Now he's the patron saint of sex workers?
Yeah, essentially. And I read this very Catholic blog post about this particular story and essentially saying that because sex workers in the eyes of religion are abhorrent and, you know, sinning and blah, 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 that Saint Nick is so good that he would show charity and love to sex workers to offer them another way.
Wow, that's upsetting.
Yeah, so that's super problematic. And it's challenging to resist the urge to fall into, you know, being like, oh, it was of a time. But it's bullshit because those kinds of ideas still are super prevalent today.
I feel like shouldn't Jesus be the patron saint of sex workers? Because wasn't Mary Magdalene a sex worker? And they were like in love and shit.
He's the true patron saint. Certainly a patron.
I mean, doesn't that make more sense as a patron saint to be someone who actually, you know, pays sex workers rather than marrying them off? I don't want my patron saint to be someone who doesn't want me to do my job.
No, absolutely not. God.
I want my patron saint to be someone who enjoys my job. Jesus. I don't know. That could actually all be incorrect.
I mean, look, this isn't a history podcast. If you came here for history and accurate facts.
So I have some myth busting. Do you want to hear my myth busting?
Yeah.
These are some facts that I thought were true about Christmas that are not true.
I love learning. That's the true Christmas spirit.
This is my gift to you. Have you heard the myth about how Coca-Cola turned Santa red for advertising?
Ah, no, but it sounds like something they do, jerks.
Well, yeah, somebody told me that and I was like, well, that makes sense because Coca-Cola's evil. Not true. Santa was depicted as red much before Coca-Cola's advertising, which had him as red. Nowhere in the Bible is it mentioned that there were three wise men.
Huh.
Also, Jesus, not born on Christmas Day.
When was he born? I mean, because didn't they adapt Christmas from like a pagan holiday?
Also a myth.
Oh, what?
Yeah, also a myth. Apparently, there's like, I mean, I think it kind of makes sense that they took some parts of it, but like it's not as much as what everybody says it was. It was like, if you go back into the history, www.biblicalarchaeology.com tells me.
This sounds factual.
I mean, they all came from The Guardian, all of these myth-busting.
Oh, I mean, they fact-check.
Yeah, and then I kind of went on a search to double fact-check to see what it was. But yes, it's apparently, yeah. They believe that Jesus was born in March. He was conceived and crucified on the same day. That's the belief.
What? Conceived?
Not on the same day of the same year.
I was going to say, that's a big day.
Just like on the same day, sometime in March, around Easter, which is when he was crucified.
Yeah, okay. No, sorry. I was just working that out in my brain. Crucified, resurrected, but not born on Christmas. Also born around then.
And the other thing is that apparently Rome used to have like a massive, they used to have a census or something. Oh, no. You know how, I don't know how much you know about the biblical version of Christmas, but they were going to be counted in this census. That's the reason that they were like on their way, and that census just would not have happened in winter because it was like freezing and people would have died. So it's much more likely to have happened in like the spring time.
Wait, that's where Joseph and Mary were going.
Yeah.
You know, not once have I asked or wondered, where were they going? So there you go, planning. To me, they're just like wandering around.
In Bethlehem, just being like, wow, I'm so pregnant. Help.
I mean, look, there's a lot of nonsense that's going on in these stories. I just didn't question it. Do you have any more? Otherwise, I've got a couple.
Nah, I'm done.
I'll bring the sex back into this sexy, non-sexy sex podcast. just a couple of little Pornhub tidbits. I did try to find, like, do people have more sex at Christmas or less sex or
I feel like it should be noted that, like, Christmas can be an incredibly stressful time for people.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, like, it's not, yeah, there's a lot of stresses on it, particularly if.
Remember when I said that Halloween was the sexiest holiday? Stand by it.
Yeah, and I totally get that as well. It can bring up a lot of stuff for people and it can be incredibly unpleasant, and people who are far away from home or people who don't have good relationships with their family and kind of getting this force-fed narrative of like, be together on Christmas.
Yeah.
Kind of, I very much can see why people would hate it. And I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, you were just blessed with a beautiful family.
But if you live with me, you will be making snowflakes and we will be hanging up lights.
That's beautiful. Pornhub traffic generally goes down on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, which is, I guess, an indication that people are like spending time with their families and stuff.
Yeah, this is probably having like quality time, I guess.
Searches for Santa go up by 447% around Christmas time.
On Pornhub?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
There's also like several thousand Grinch themed videos.
I see, now that I've had a while to think about it, the Grinch does make way more sense to me. If I was going to Pornhub any Christmas character, it would probably be the Grinch.
You reckon?
I mean, what other Christmas characters are there? I mean, I would probably go Jack Frost just because it's a hot name, and I reckon he'd be hot.
It is a hot name for a cold man. Yeah, I mean, the Grinch maybe, but he's very furry. Not that that's necessarily a problem.
Do you think the Grinch has a human penis? Because he's not a human.
You know what I'm just thinking of, and this is really unfortunate. You know the Jim Carrey movie where he's got those really awful, like, long fingers and it, like, goes into, like, a fluff at the top?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm picturing well, his penis like.
I mean, it is like The Who. Aren't the Whovians, like, isn't their whole world a bit curly? I'm picturing, like, a duck, like, corkscrew penis.
You're making it sound less and less appealing.
Look, I don't
Maybe
think...
something obscure, like the... Oh, no, that's... I was going to say maybe like the ghost of Christmas Past, but isn't that like a tiny kid? That's not where I wanted to go. What about Christmas spirit as an abstract concept?
I thought that'd be good. Like, because it's just okay. It's just joy, right?
Yeah.
You know?
That would be it's such a like, good time.
That would be sparkles. That would
Imagine
be sparkles.
Imagine picturing that. Like, you just being like...
It'd probably be like sex on X, surely.
I mean, I've never done that, but sure.
Well, you'd just be like, yeah, everything is
really
so,
feeling
yeah.
yourself, just like, oh yeah, that's good.
Oh my god, we've gone so over time.
Oh dear. The last remaining fact I had, which just stood out to me, was that so men are more likely to search for Christmas related terms on Pornhub than women, make of that what you will, but women are 220% more likely to search for old Santa Claus specifically. I mean, you do you. Gets you there.
Also, like, it's weird that you'd specify an age, because isn't Santa like just old Santa Claus? Is
I'd say
young
so.
Santa Claus?
Yeah. So there you go. There's some festive porn stats for you.
Love it.
Anyway, let's finish it up here. But I think just to wrap up, thanks everyone who's listened this year. It's been a wild ride. I hope you've enjoyed the smart. And we're taking a break over the next month or so.
Yeah.
We deserve it. You deserve a break. We'll be back in January at some point.
Take the time to read some smart.
Woohoo.
Santa baby, hurry down the chimney tonight.
Books love.